Welcome to the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Podcast, exploring sacred sexuality, the activation of life force, and empowered transformation. These intimate conversations take you under the sheets with faculty from ISTA, the International School of Temple Arts. I'm your host, Simon Marvell, apprentice faculty with ISTA. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Podcast. My name is Simon, and today we have an especially important guest, Stephanie Phillips. Stephanie is a powerful guide at the forefront of global conscious sexuality, of the global conscious sexuality movement. Stephanie initiates individuals and groups through tantric and shamanic practices, pattern reframing, and the deep remembering of our innate wisdom. Her warmth, clarity, irreverent humor, and keen insights are heartwarming for all those who work with her. She draws from her extensive background in psychotherapy, yoga, Reiki, dance, bodywork modalities, and the healing arts. This is a unique opportunity to hear a little bit from Stephanie's wisdom and expertise. She's widely considered an accomplished leader in the field, and she's supported thousands of people to transform their lives. She's also been a facilitator and ISTA faculty since 2015. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Simon. It's lovely to be here. You had trouble getting through that, didn't you?
I had to do a little bit editing of your bio on the fly, just for context. And I was thinking, oh, God, we should tone this down a little bit, Stephanie. Come on.
No, it was wonderful. Well, it's great to be here.
Great to have you on. We've been back and forth trying to organize this episode for a while, and I'm really excited to be able to get it happening.
Yeah, well, and it also gives me a chance to catch up with you personally, which is quite a rare occurrence.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I want to begin actually by recalling an experience which may feel unexpected for me to recall, but we did a theatre show together a long time ago now, 10 years ago, and I was directing it and you were performing in it, and we went through the entire rehearsal period and performance period of this show without anyone involved in the show knowing how we knew each other. So do we want to do that now, or do we want to reveal it from the get-go?
I think it would be unfair not to do it now. I think it's right and proper that people know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, what's going on here.
So Stephanie, I'm very fortunate to have Stephanie as my mother. Stephanie is like my biological, real blood mother. And we're both in ISTA, and we're both doing this work. How does that make you feel?
Okay, on so many levels, it's incredible. And I didn't plan it this way, I can tell you. And in fact, I never planned to even be involved with the sexuality field. It wasn't something that I thought was going to happen, what I wanted to do when I grew up, let alone have children and they also follow into this field as well. So, and yet here we are, and it's incredible and actually deeply humbling and heart-opening that we can traverse so many difficult conversations, difficult situations, and heal so much of the generational, I guess, wounding that happens by acknowledging this in each other. Yeah, so it's on many, many levels. It's very humbling and beautiful.
Yeah, humbling and beautiful is a good way to put it. I definitely feel that. We talked a little bit about what we might want to talk about today. There's so much that we could talk about, like our specific journey through. But you also wanted to talk about, and I think it's great to talk about this and weave this in, like the core of your teaching. You've been teaching ISTA specifically since 2015, but teaching sexuality work longer than that. And one of your core pieces that you come back to and are really passionate about, it seems, is this idea of awakening through orgasmic current, right? Awakening through orgasmic current. And I'm just thinking, like, how you've passed this idea on to me. There's actually a lot of information coming through me.
Well, I'm interested, so can I be the interviewer now?
Yeah, go.
Well, there's a question right there. How did that land for you? And, when did you pick up on this idea?
On awakening through orgasmic current. Well, what I tell people, actually, it's funny, how did I get into this stuff, like conscious sexuality? And I always say, well, when I was about 25, my mum gave me a book for Christmas called Sexual Secrets for Men. I had a glance through the book and I thought to myself, I know all this already. We've got the internet these days. And, you know, it's 20, whatever it was. It felt like a book written for people that grew up in the 1950s. And then, like, I was in a relationship and it was all good. And then, like the relationship kind of bottomed out and I felt like in a really topsy-turvy, knotted, low place. And I had, like, no language for describing that. It felt terrible every day. Like, I had no tools to deal with that, really, process, as I'm sure is the case for many people. And I came back to the book. Like, the book was hanging around my room or whatever, and I was like, what can I draw on here? So I started flicking through the book again and thought, there's something in here, something about, like, you know, energetic current running through my body, and if I breathe this way, and if I imagine, like, masculine and feminine kind of divine type entities and meditate, and just some basic concepts. If I start to do that, maybe I develop a framework for myself that I could apply practically in my life and that can remain kind of abstract for me to draw on whenever I felt like I needed it. I guess it started building up from there. That's when it, and then I came to a couple of workshops that you were running and just got told to do things, like, basically with my body. Not anything extreme, like nothing at all, but just like, hey, so look at this person in the eyes, or move through the room in a like slow, considered way, just really super basic. Having that kind of guidance, I think, was another element that sort of brought me into getting in touch with something to do with energetic current. And then I guess just the being fed pieces of information, like, hey, so that energetic current that you can feel, that sense of being in tune with what your body is doing and, like, what feels good, what doesn't feel good, allowing yourself to express yourself to music, for example, just being fed information, pieces of information that suggested that all those things could be incorporated with sexuality, with, like, what I knew to be an orgasmic feeling. If I just sort of let myself put that sense of energetic current and expansion together with what I knew to be an orgasmic sensation, if I let them blend together a little bit and move together a little bit more, then suddenly a lot happened from there. A lot grew from that place.
Wow, you should be part of this movement.
I drank the Kool-Aid a while ago, I think.
Look, I think that actually being in the body is so much of this. And what many people don't know probably is that you spend a lot of time of your a lot of time growing up in dance classes, like I did.
Yeah, we both danced a lot when we were kids. Yeah.
Yes. And so our dance training required us to be in the body. And for me anyway, and probably for you as well, being in the body and moving to music and feeling that expression through dance and through that channel brings us home to what is alive. It's our life force energy. And, yes, it seems like a smaller step then to connect the dots that actually our life force energy is completely entwined, and it is our sexual current, our orgasmic current. It's just that that word sexual has become boxed in to a certain meaning, and that's what I teach we're free of now. We don't have to be boxed in by sexual being a certain kind of peak experience from the genitals. It's a way of being that wants to transmit and radiate through your whole body. This idea that we are orgasmic beings comes from the fact that what if we are orgasmic, if you like, in every single cell, that we're vibrating a frequency that has that quality. And that's what we're transmitting when we're opening our bodies to that aliveness and able to stay in the body and able to stay present with that current awake and alive and running through us. That to me is what this current is. And for embodied people who, you know, enjoy dancing, who enjoy, you know, who've been through the practice of yoga perhaps, or you know, there are so many examples of this. It can be a small step, and yet, you know, there are many blocks to this, but however, it can be a beautiful path to waking up to this idea.
Yeah, I'm thinking about people that play sport, or even just played sport as a kid, or just played in the backyard, rode bikes, any kind of exercise, movement, liked to walk to the shops, and run along the nature strip. It's a pretty universal experience. Probably everyone has some memory of really enjoying being in their body. Surely at some point as a child they enjoyed being in their body. Yes. And it seems to be a saying we can draw on that experience.
Yes, for sure. And it comes to that idea that we were born as whole beings. And certainly, even if we don't have a memory of it, we were born in our bodies and we lived life through our bodies. Our experience of the world was through our bodies, completely unedited. We were a sponge when we were born, and whole experience of life was through our bodies. Bringing our breath deep down into our bellies, you know, as two-year-olds, we were all deep belly breathers. We were able to express ourselves and call our no and state our yes and express through our voice with no trouble at all. and we were connected to our bodies. So that was where we started life. Mm. However, by the time we got to school, that usually got shut down because of what we learned about the world and how we learned to survive in a world that doesn't support this openness. So even though many people don't have a reference point for being in their bodies, most of us, if not all of us, well, we started out that way. We started out as beings embodied and fully expressive and fully alive with all of this running through us. And from the very earliest age, we started shutting that aliveness down to fit in and as a survival mechanism. So we had full voice, we had full breath, we had full movement, and yet we started to constrict our breath. By the time we got to school, we're shallow breathers. We're only breathing in the chest. No longer that big, deep belly breath as a go-to. And we started to constrict our voice. We stopped saying how we felt. We stopped expressing our authentic truth. We also stopped our free expression through our bodies. So we started to contract. And that was so that we could shut down intensity that was too much for us to feel as little kids. And this is the kind of programming that I've seen over and over again with every single person, really, that I've ever worked with. There's this shutdown, this programming that restricts our voice, our movement, our breath. And by restricting the emotions that were too much to feel, we also restricted our current, our life force, our sexual energy, our pleasure, our embodiment. And underneath, we restricted our joy, our bliss. That's our natural state of being. So it started young. However, we were embodied beings coming into this, coming onto this earth, and we still have that memory within us. So going through this awakening of orgasmic current is a remembering of what the body holds. It's a remembering of the wisdom that our body vibrates, and that current never died. Even in the most extreme cases, that pilot light never went out. That is my belief. That's what holds, it's like a beacon for me, that that pilot light never went out. And so we can come back to this remembering of our body wisdom. We can come back to our full expression of joy and pleasure and aliveness. We can come back to the full range of our emotional expression and still remain in the body. And have that be okay. Remember that it's a safe place to be in your body. And this is our natural essence. This is when we come back to the body and reside back into that wisdom again, we can then step through our lives in our full purpose and be on the planet in the way that we came here to be. So a lot of this, we're talking about embodiment and awakening the orgasmic current. And I believe that every single being on the planet has the capacity to remember this. It's still there. It never died.
So this feeling of awakening, or this event, this phenomenon of awakening, is what happens when we've been asleep for a while, or when we've shut down, this, or forgotten about, right, this pilot light that is there, that we had when we came through. We probably got lit before we were, like, when we were very just cells or an idea. The pilot light's coming through, maybe from a long way back. And I'm hearing that we really feel close to it as babies, especially. And there's some, for many of us, there's a societal conditioning that happens where we forget about it, or we cover it over. And this awakening experience that you're saying we can have later on is a remembering that pilot light exists and is ready to spark something amazing.
Yes. I mean, whatever that spark is can be different for every person. So what's amazing for you is pretty mundane for somebody else, and vice versa. So, you know, we don't need to, you know, put ideas about what amazing means. But essentially, this is a coming back home to a current that's always been there. And it has always been there in our whole ancestral lineage as well. However, it got shut down in each generation, because through the lineage, each generation had their own task, I guess, to survive. And they found their own survival strategies to shut down and handle the fear, guilt, and shame that was passed on to them through the previous generations, which is what has happened. It's not just societal programming that we're at the effect of, we're also at the effect of the fear, guilt, and shame passed on through our generations.
I'm wondering, like, can you say something more about that? Often I hear people talking about healing lineages or regression, past life regressions, different processes that get called names like this. And then I think about terms like intergenerational trauma, this idea, which I think a lot of people are switching on to now. This sounds a bit like what you're talking about, where there is an acknowledgement that, hey, our parents went through some stuff that they couldn't handle, and they had a real hard time doing it. They just had to survive. They experienced trauma in their life, in their actual lived lives. And some of that, what they experienced, the difficulty of their life, somehow just got, like, unloaded onto their children. And it's kind of unavoidable. And the children take it on, maybe subconsciously or in their bodies in some way. And then they do their best to process it, as well as the stuff that they have to deal with in their own lives. And then they have kids, and then the same process goes along. Does that sound like a sort of an accurate way to sort of describe what you see going on there?
Yeah, for sure. And I find that more and more, actually, these days, I'm working more with this ancestral lineage, and taking people through a process of having those generations heal. Because if we get the idea, if we have the idea that we are in a multidimensional time zone, what if time is not linear? What if time is this multifaceted dimensional frame
where
if we go back and imagine ourselves or sort of morph ourselves into past generations and be as we were back then, we can feel and rearrange the body responses instead of unloading the repression or the shame onto the next generation. Instead, we have the capacity to integrate that in the moment. We can feel everything and hold it in our bodies in the moment, in that generation. And if we can imagine doing that as past generations, what we're doing is it's stopping there. That unloading doesn't happen because we're able to hold it in their bodies as that generation. And so this can be, I've been working with this a lot. This is a beautiful process to step back through your lineage and feel yourself as that generation, embodying, integrating, holding, running it alive without unloading it forward. And if we take the idea that time is multidimensional, this is extraordinary work. This is extraordinary healing happening. Healing for those past generations. And then, of course, for ourselves, healing in this lifetime and for future generations. So there's a lot of clearing that can be done energetically, shamanically, however you want to call it, with just being alive, being back in the body, experiencing everything, knowing it's safe to experience and open and integrate it or, have that acknowledged. Without shutting it down and denying it.
Yeah. So what I hear you suggesting, and this is something that might be kind of radical for a lot of people who haven't learnt about these ideas, like that may for people who maybe don't think of who do think about time as kind of linear and it's useful because of its linearity. We know that this comes before this and this other thing comes after it. And like there's history and there's the future and there's now, and it helps me structure my day. So maybe if we're used to thinking of time like that, the idea that time is nonlinear and that we can go back in time seems kind of a bit out there. The idea that we can heal what our great grandparent was experiencing as traumatic maybe is a bit out there for some people.
Absolutely. And I guess we don't have to try and heal anything. This is, and it can be taken as a lineal experience going through this. It's a matter of imagining, like we do pretend, for example, can I kind of step us through like a 5 minute?
I'd love that. Let's imagine that I've got some deep-seated issues with my mother. how would I heal that?
Well, I don't know. I'll go and ask my mother. You
know? No, that's great.
Well, first of all, I'd suggest you go and do an Easter training. And there are some processes for that. We've been in the same room with that, actually, and that was fun.
Definitely. The Easter level one particularly, just for people I guess listening who haven't who haven't gone through the ISTA level one, you know, hones in on some aspects of what you're talking about here, Steph. And whether it's healing or at least like bringing to consciousness, I guess, or bringing to light our relationships with our parents is one significant, but one part of the process. Yeah. Yeah. So to be with you in the same space, doing that work was, you know, has been on multiple occasions pretty incredible, actually. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And just to say that I think you would not acknowledge also that it changed everything with our relationship. And for that, I'm eternally grateful in so many ways.
Mm.
Yeah. So being in a space where we're in full expression of all the things that never got said to our mothers, and you're there in the room with your mother and I'm in there, there doing it with my mother but also with my son going through his thing, and remember thinking to myself as I saw you moving through it through the corner of my eye, I'm going, gee, Simon, that's a bit harsh.
As I'm there expressing all the things that I like held back from expressing to you because they were too full on or something. I was just going for it and you were, you were witnessing that, yeah.
Yeah, also, and also going through it with for myself as well with my mother, so.
And I was witnessing you. I was sort of expressing this stuff, not knowing really where it was coming from, but it was deep within me, let me say.
Yes.
And then but in the same moment, seeing you in the room, like live, so it wasn't, it was kind of this imaginative process, like I was going there to a younger version of myself who couldn't express his anger at you. So I felt like I was that 5-year-old kid and that 10-year-old kid and that 16-year-old kid all at the same time, having the opportunity to express all the stuff that they couldn't express. But on top of that regression experience, whatever you'd want to call it, which felt very intense and real, I could see you in the same physical space as me and acknowledge that you were there and have, okay, that's interesting, but I seem to be able to process this. That's interesting.
That's a bit of a mindfuck, really, isn't it?
Like... And then layer it on that you're going through the same process that I'm going through right now, but you are talking to my grandmother, who I have a perfectly fine relationship with. So I don't know what your big problem is that I witness you having with her.
It's all a beautiful, messy thing. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. And actually, Simon, what you're saying about imagining yourself and somehow you were those, that boy of 5, that kid of 10, that young man of 16. And so coming back to where we were started out here, someone who is not familiar with this, what we're talking about, you know, it's possible to tap in as a complete walk off the street person and imagine themselves as a 5-year-old because you've just expressed how that happened for you, right?
Yeah.
And equally, coming back to this lineage, ancestral lineage process, it's a matter of just imagining that you're in their shoes. So looping back around, can I take you like
How would you guide someone through this? Like give us a taste maybe.
All right. So imagine that you're standing, not so hard for you right now, but you're standing in front of, let's take the maternal line. And of course you can do this equally with your paternal line. However, let's do maternal for now. You're standing in front of your mother and you're saying all those things that never got said. And you're feeling all those feelings that perhaps you shut down as the child in order to survive. But now you give yourself permission to say it. It's okay to say it. And she's there and she's hearing. She's able to hear it. Now, you take a step forward and you morph into your mother's energy. So where you've been talking to your mother, you step forward now as if you are your mother, and you turn and you face yourself. So you've morphed into your mother's energy. And this time your mother hears you and sees you. Her heart is open and she's able to feel everything. And she can just flow love to you without any fear, guilt, and shame, because she's also able to feel everything that she's gone through, that she's been carrying. So let's just sit with that for a moment. And then you would take a step back. Behind her stands your grandmother, her mother. And you step into her shoes and you feel her posture. You might know her name, so you imagine her name, and you feel her loves, her joys, her sorrows, and you feel her taking back the fear, guilt, and shame that she's now able to hold in her body without giving it over to the next generation. And then you take it back, you step behind her, and you stand in the shoes of your great-grandmother. And you do the same thing. There are loves, there are losses, there are tragedies, there are joys, there are secret loves that, you know, who knows, you'll kind of feel this woman and her life experience and everything that she's holding. And you feel her open her heart and pour that forward, because she's able to integrate everything now rather than just pass it on. And so let's slipstream back in time, because it usually goes back to the generation that got ripped from the land. So there's a skip back of many, many, many generations to when there was an invasion or an earthquake or a flood or the crops didn't grow or something, some tragedy happened and the village had to move. They were untethered from the land for some reason. And this is where we lost connection with the land, this generation particularly. So you feel that and you sort of integrate that. Then in this process, we might go way back eons ago when you were a priestess in the temples, or you were meeting with other sisters in a clearing in a forest under a full moon, creating, manifesting, calling up the underworld, the crones, the grandmothers, the ancient ones, these ancient ways of opening, channeling orgasmic energy through your whole body and calling it out to the stars, shifting worlds, creating worlds. And from there, you step out of the line. Remember, you're still you. You're going to step out of the line and walk back past all the generations. Take yourself back to your original position of you, standing in front of your mother. And this time, all you feel is love pouring to you from your whole ancestral line, mother's line. No more fear, guilt, and shame. And you can actually state it yourself, saying, I give back all the fear, guilt, and shame that was never mine. And in fact, it was never yours either. any repression, any suppression, any oppression, any shutdown is gone. And all that's left is love. So that is a quick version, although equally touching and deep, even though it's an abbreviated version. But this is how we can time travel and imagine ourselves to whatever capacity is real for us. So you're not doing all their work, if you like. If it's not like that. It's just having a taste of, So actually, Simon, I could feel you actually going through that for yourself. So I have to ask, what was that like for you?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I feel very lucky. Yeah, I was there. I guess I was speaking before we started recording, like we've been in the space together a lot, and often you've been teaching and I've been either receiving the teaching or helping or like co-doing things. So I feel like I've experienced versions of this process before, even in just like a short guided sort of meditation, we might call what just happened then. It drops me right back into like an activation I felt like I've had previously in this space with you. So it comes on very strongly for me very quickly. And I guess that's me trying to explain how deeply I went. To strip all that away, it takes me back very easily. I go there. Yeah, vivid images in my mind. I love that it goes back to connecting with the land and that being like, that's very present for me at the moment, like thinking about a lot of different things with what we're sort of facing as humans at the moment, like climate crisis and everything like that. But and to know that it's entrenched in history and like that it's actually our connection to the land is a core part of what makes us human. And
yes, I'd like to just, flag, you say that you drop into that really easily and you associate that because you've been in these spaces before.
Yeah.
But in fact, I'd love to say that any time I've held this for a group of people or one person, they also drop into this quite easily as well. So it doesn't necessarily mean just because you've done it before that it's easy. It's something that resonates, I think, in all of us because we carry the DNA of this wisdom in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And we're working through layers that our minds can't understand. Our brain can't comprehend any of this, and yet it's real. So I stopped trying to explain what I do a long, long time ago.
Yeah. And I guess people listening to it, they could attest themselves. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the point. We've got this. We've got this whether we've got experience, quote unquote experience in it or not. This is precisely the point.
Yes.
Precisely the point. So I wonder where does the orgasm come in?
Well, we have to reframe what an orgasm is, don't we?
Where does the orgasmic current, this lineal healing, and I feel all this is, and and again, like beyond words and beyond making it intellectual, I understand, but could you make that link?
Yeah, so the first thing would be to, again, say that we have to reframe what an orgasm is, that it goes beyond this programmed idea of a peak experience and then a release. And it's tuning into more subtle realms of experience or subtle sensations in the body. or energetic subtleties that we often override for all of the reasons that we've talked about so far. And so if we're able to go inwards and tune into the subtle sensations, there is a current still moving in us, a bit like that pilot light that I mentioned before, and it's still there vibrating, waiting for us to come home, waiting for us to connect with that subtle wisdom and vibration resonance that's alive in every cell. It's alive in every atom because we are connected, as we've realized, with the earth and with the nature on the planet. But we're also connected with cosmos, with these finer vibrational energy fields that ripple outwards until we are merged with cosmos itself. Okay, so this could be a real stretch for people. We've launched people. Hang in there. However, I am trying to, I guess, explain in words the unexplainable. And you did ask about orgasm. and this is orgasmic current. So to me, this is connection to the subtle and the acknowledgement that when we tune in, that orgasmic current, that aliveness, that all-knowing part of us is a frequency that's there in our whole bodies, in our whole being. And it's part of, we are a conduit for cosmos coming through our bodies and into earth. And this is the conduit being alive and awake. And I like to call it orgasm.
Right. Yeah. And when we reframe it like that, it's innocent. So innocent and beautiful and like has a childlike playfulness to it and like an exuberance to it. Or, yeah, a subtlety, just like an openness to become, to express itself in whatever way feels authentic and right for the moment.
Yes. I love you bringing that word innocence back because it is innocent. It's also wild. It's untethered. It's raw. And this seems to be the issue for so many people, that they're afraid of their wildness. They're afraid of their animal, their raw expression. And as we know from Easter, or not just from Easter, but I love how Easter celebrates this, we're coming home to all our aliveness, not just the pretty parts. We're coming home to the wild in us. And we fucking need that right now. We need it on the planet. And to have that merged with our innocence, that is potent. And that is bringing the earth, raw animal, integrated with heart and universal love. It's merged together. And to me, the work through, or the journey through the physical body, is that emergence, is that integration of the animal, wild, raw expression through the heart and merged with cosmos.
Yeah.
Okay. You're okay there, Simon? We're doing okay?
I mean, I'm great. This is just good shit, you know?
Isn't it though? And it's so It's so normal. This is our innate sense of being. This is our essence without all the conditioning and without the shaming and the guilt and the repression. If we were able to give ourselves permission to feel everything, give ourselves permission to be in our pleasure and in our innocence, then this is alive in us again.
Ding, ding, ding. That's it.
Yeah. And we could philosophize all day, but we're not going to.
We're not. This is part of what I'm laughing about a little bit.
Right, like exactly. I can read you. So,
And so it's just like, well, what's the point in just continuing to talk? I want to go and like put some music on and dance, or I want to just like stretch and luxuriate like a cat for the next hour and a half before.
Excellent. Well, if you're feeling like doing that, maybe others are feeling like doing that too. So, it feels good to have come to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much for joining me today, Mummy.
You had to slip that one in just once, didn't you?
We typically finish off the podcast with a few quick fire questions. Would you be up for them?
Oh, you didn't prep me for this, but yes, go ahead.
That's the point. So just in a few words, I could answer most of these, by the way, but
I might fall back to that.
Just in a few words or less. When is your favorite time to make love?
When the children done in the room.
What did you have for dinner last night?
Oh, my goodness. I went to the beach, came back and had some quick chicken. It was late because I had sunset beach, as you do in Byron Bay.
So you had chicken.
Yep.
Where's your happy place?
Right here talking with you, Simi.
Coffee or tea?
Chai.
What are you reading right now?
I am reading Womb Awakening. I'm getting it out and I'm showing him.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Initiatory Wisdom from the Creatrix of All Life by Azra Bertrand and Serene Bertrand. It is my absolute Bible and it's the second time I'm reading it.
And is there anything that's left to share with our listeners, anything that you kind of want to close out on?
I'm just not specifically. I'm just basking in the beauty of being in this space with you, and it's been coming for a long time, and interesting timing because, as you said before, this is an extraordinary time on the planet for all of us. So to have this conversation with you and to hit for me what are truths. Is very precious. And to be able to have this conversation with my son is just constantly blows my mind.
Thank you. And for those who want to get in touch with you, maybe spend some more time in the space with you themselves, you do private sessions out of Bangalore, just right near Byron Bay, on the north coast of New South Wales in Australia. You also do sessions in Melbourne still, down south. What else is going on for you? How else can people get in touch with you and experience your teaching?
Yes, I do online sessions as well, and I am currently working on some online courses, which is coming slower than I was hoping. And I also hold retreats. So the Body Whisperer is a body of work that has now got more and more traction, and happy to say that, yes, we're able to do live-in retreats now. Mm. And that is a passion for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Steph. Thanks, Mum. Great to talk to you. There's so much more we could say, but for now we say goodbye and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Podcast. To find out more about ISTA's retreats, online festivals, or to work with our faculty, visit our website, ISTA.life, or find us on Facebook at ISTA.life and on Instagram at ISTA_try.